Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
It's no secret that the McKeesport area has had a problem with violence, particularly gun violence, over the last 20 years or so. In fact, all of the Mon Valley communities, Duquesne, Clairton, Braddock, have had their own struggles with violence. Two men in McKeesport who are trying very hard to make a difference, to reduce that gun violence, and to divert youth from taking the law into their own hands are Keenan Michael and Keith Murphy. Keenan Michael is the executive director at First Step Recovery Homes. That's a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to helping people in need of shelter who have substance abuse problems through various programs and initiatives. Keith Murphy is the founder of Healthy Village Learning Institute. Since its inception in 2012, the Healthy Village Learning Institute has tackled helping to educate and mentor black youth. We talked with Keenan and Keith this week because of the importance of this conversation. This is actually going to be a special two-part program. We're going to present the second part in a couple of weeks, and then we will post the entire unedited conversation up on our website at TubeCityOnline.com. Here's the first part of our interview with Keenan Michael and Keith Murphy.
First things first, I think we've all been touched in some way or another. Keith, you're up at the Healthy Village Learning Institute, which is right there on Versailles Avenue, and you're kind of right in the middle of things. What do you see in the neighborhood up there?
Well, part of it is that there's been a shift in terms of what historically has been identified as hotspots. Typically, that has been relegated to the Harrison Village and Crawford Village area and some parts of the Hilltop. But now we see that fluctuation of gun violence happening in those rare spots, which are the real residential areas up here on Versailles and off of Versailles. The dynamics, that's the unknown. So we don't know if this is people from out of town shooting at people in town or shooting at other people from out of town. That is a variable that we can't control, but we have to at least increase the awareness. Let folks know in the community, listen, if you know there's some people you don't know, because even when somebody gets shot, you know, McKeesport has its own internet system where if it's somebody from McKeesport that gets shot, we all know. But when somebody gets shot and we ain't hearing anything from anybody, we automatically assume that's somebody from out of town. So when we look at that dynamic, we don't know who's moving into McKeesport, and we don't know why people are coming to McKeesport. And certainly the drug thing and the gun thing is also one of those prevalent pieces to the puzzle. The bottom line is we need to be more engaged in being eyes and ears. Even though some folks don't want to talk to the police, they at least have a venue where they can talk to me or talk to Keenan. So we are trying to open up that gate where we say, hey, listen, let us be that voice. Let us be that information source, and let us be the ones that try to target how we can prevent stuff from happening. So eventually we will find ourselves out in the streets more, out in the streets with visible colors, out in the streets with visible messages on T-shirts. And we're going to encourage citizens to do the same, because one thing I do know, most people don't try to commit a crime when there's people out that can witness it, because they don't know the character of the person. And it's like I tell everybody, the definition of a snitch is something that also needs to be given to the young folks, especially. You know, we tell them a snitch is somebody that if you got into some trouble along with somebody else and somebody said, look, we will reduce your charge if you tell on this person, that's a snitch. The other piece is if the police say, let me give you some money and give us this information, that's a snitch. But if something's happening in your community that has nothing to do with you being a part of it, to be a good citizen of McKeesport especially, you have to tell somebody, or we're not going to win the battle. because the only time people really want to cry out for help is when one of their children get killed or one of their children gets shot. Now, all of a sudden, the radar goes up where they say, oh, we got to do something about this. And I'm saying you could have did something about this early on. So if you have a child that's guilty of committing some sort of infraction with someone else, you got to know something. Back. You know, I got diversion programs that are caught with guns, 17 years old. I asked the question, why do you have a gun? They say for protection. I say protection from who and what? That's where it gets tricky. So I tell them, I've been living in this community for 62 years, haven't had to carry a gun on me once because nobody shot at me and nobody's targeting me. Now, I could be an accident. Bullets have no names.
No, they don't know they don't know who they're hitting, for sure.
Exactly. So we can't. So it's like I tell people, you know, there's people that look at McKeesport as one of those most dangerous cities, in not only in the county, but in the country. And I tell them, I say, look, so far, and this just happened, we got two murders in this city since January 1. So we got to be more active and engaged. And, you know, we're having now some anti-violence sessions where we want to get to the solution stuff. How do we engage parents? How do we engage grandparents? How do we engage the youth? How do we even engage children on how to look at violence from a different perspective? Everybody want to use those fancy words like social health determinant and all that other stuff. And I'm saying, look, people who are not versed in that type of language, you will turn them off immediately. But we know it's a public health safety issue. But we can't lead with that because that doesn't do anything for people who aren't versed in that language. So we, thank God, we are so connected to the community, we can talk to them in the language that they understand.
Keenan Michael, you're at First Step Recovery Homes. Tell us what the situation is for you. You're in a little bit different situation in that you have a residential program. So you're dealing with a lot of times, I think, older folks who have been gotten caught up in drugs and in the system.
No, absolutely. I'm dealing with adult men, particularly men 18 and over, who suffer from the disease of substance abuse, basically co-occurring diagnoses, because you have mental health component that's involved with substance abuse. You absolutely can't have one without the other. And often you have the substance that's masking the mental health aspect. And because these are primarily men, these are often the fathers that are taken out of the community, the fathers who are taken out of the households, the fathers who are taken out of the workforce, which is often taken the creating an impact in our community where we don't see these men who these youth can model, these younger men can model, these children can model. So whenever you don't have these men who you can speak to, these men who you can vent to, these men who you can follow through for whenever you have certain questions, just learning how to adult and learning how to deal with conflict resolution and other aspects of life. You have maladaptive ways. You don't necessarily know how to navigate through different areas. And of course, that's where you have your violence. You have your different conflicts and whatnot. And so what I'm dealing with is teaching sometimes men, adult males, how to become men, which segues back to the Healthy Village, because the Healthy Village, not only does it work with young youth and children, but it also works with men. So some of the tools that are used in areas such as the Healthy Village are also used in areas with some of these men in workshops, which teach men how to have self-respect, dignity, self-worth, and other areas of life skills and whatnot. Once we can get these men here to be able to pay taxes, work, learn basic life skills, go back into society, have their role back in their households, not necessarily take over the households, because, you know, the women were carrying the brunt of the weight for so long. You can't just come home, you know, with this barbaric idea of, hey, I'm home. I want the big piece of chicken idea, right? But you have to ease your way back in and say and earn the respect of both the children and the women or the other heads of the house and ease your way back in and become a family unit. But once you get that stability there, then you can have that respect. Then you can have that rationale within a household, which bleeds back into the community. Once there's respect in the household, then there's respect outside of the household. Then we can have people can see the humanity in each other. Maybe there's some stability. Maybe there's more income in the house where there's not that much anger. I don't have to go out and sell drugs or commit crimes to get shoes or basic thing needs or wants. And I'm less likely to have these conflicts that I have in the streets. So, yeah, of course, I work here with First Step. But that's within the realm of dealing with these particular needs for the men here. But that's on a short range. Knowing that that doesn't reach all the areas that needed to be reached because First Step has its own mission statement, I had decided to create my own business or nonprofit, so to speak, which was Building Block. So Building Block was a concept using hip-hop social work, in which was my idea of taking all the concepts that we would use to rebuild some of the men here and do more of a community case management, take it maybe a couple steps further. And also looking at the social justice aspect of the community, but take it a couple steps further and reach out to other areas of the community whenever we see different needs throughout Mon Valley, but specifically in the McKeesport area. And that allowed me to say, okay, well, we know that there's a housing issue because I deal with homeless men. So we can go to areas within the community and say, well, there's a lot of blight here. Maybe we need to clean this area up. Maybe we can ask the city, what are we doing with this? Can they donate this? Or what? Maybe they need to come and put some more lighting in this area. You know, just different issues that we know leads to crime or can help the community or impact the mental within a particular area. And we go through different areas. We go through different check the boxes, and hopefully it has a broader impact within the community. And so Building Block, of course, right now it's a sole propriety. It's just me and whoever hangs with me, I guess. And little by little, we can try to make it a little bit bigger. Myself, I'm a student of Mr. Murphy, so I'm learning and modeling myself under the village and under him. So as he says, okay, well, it might be a good idea to go do it like this, I follow his tutelage and I do that. Or here with Mr. Giles with First Step, if I see a model that he's doing that works for the men, I say, okay, this might work for the community. So, I sit on the shoulders of the elders in the community and try to learn from them. And as long as it can impact everybody and it's a win-win situation. I think Stephen Covey has said, you always start with the end in mind, but this always has to end with a win-win. So I try to maintain that ideology.
We're talking this week with Keenan Michael, the executive director of First Step Recovery Homes. You can find out more information about them at 412-673-2113 or visit firststeprecoveryhomes.com. Also on the line with us this morning is Keith Murphy. He's the founder of the Healthy Village Learning Institute, 412-889-9329 or hvliweb.org. This is the first of a two-part interview. We will have the second part in 2 weeks. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Keenan Michael is executive director of First Step Recovery Homes, but also is the founder of Building Block. But you with Building Block, you have been going literally door-to-door in some neighborhoods to talk to people. Am I accurate about that?
Absolutely so. Again, and I always want to give credit where it belongs. Mr. Murphy had seen a lot of my energy and my potential. So what he had asked me to do is to jump on and start working towards the violence prevention sector. And so what I did was I had worked in the area of violence prevention for a while. And we've seen that there was a lack of enthusiasm or a lack of action in a lot of different areas from organizations that were supposed to be working in certain sectors.
Let me interrupt you for a second, because probably people get hopeless. They feel like they're pushing this rock uphill and they're not getting anywhere. I think burnout is a real factor.
Yeah, okay. That happens. There's burnout. There's fear. And there's lack of training. And honestly, there has to be a specific mindset. You have to have a passion to work in the field of human services, and you have to have a passion to work in the field of for the community. We know that. Did I freeze? Okay. I think I froze for a second.
No, you're okay. You're okay on this end, at least.
Okay, cool. So you have to have a certain mindset of people. It's not like it's a high paying, the reward is the outcome. So being that there weren't a lot of people with the follow through, on my end, I decided to try to pick up some of the slack until we could maybe recruit more people to fill in some of the gaps. And so the first thing you do is, you know, in the area, your radius and where you live. And so go door to door where people know you, they see you, and you build up, change community norms. You knock on doors. Hey, you know, I live here. You probably see me walking my dog. You see me in the area. What do you think we should do to change this? Or what do you see as a problem here? What would you like to change? And, you know, knowing our community, people don't mind engaging and having conversations. And one thing about people in downtrodden areas, we don't mind venting. We need to get that out sometimes, right? So, you know what? I can't stand when this, or, you know, the mayor doesn't do this, or the council doesn't do this, or the people are just so this, and they vent and they say what they feel. And you take note. And if it's something that you can help, you organize and you do it. If it's something that's a little bit bigger, you bring to the city council and you say, hey, I spoke to a couple people and this is their concerns. And if you do it consistently and people start seeing a little bit of change, they start to you build up a little more trust. And again, if you do it on a week-to-week basis, a month-to-month basis, little by little, you start building faith. And we start to see a little bit more safer places. And we start to have a more of a community mindset. It's not just a city mindset. It's a community mindset. So I'm thinking that if we can continue that momentum and continue that pattern, that we may be able to get our community back to where it once was.
Keenan Michael is Executive Director of First Step Recovery Homes. Keith Murphy is with Healthy Village Learning Institute. Keith, you were listening to what Keenan had to say. How important is this work that Keenan is talking about, going out and making that personal connection with people and getting them to talk individually and as a group sometimes?
So when we think about being proactive, Keenan is being proactive by knocking on those doors, because here's what it does. It starts to chip away at that deficit model thinking and pushes it in a strength-based model. So if you can empower folk to feel like there's somebody out there working on their behalf, trying to make sure they're safe, trying to make sure their children are coming home from school without getting shot in the head in a convenience store, apathy has set in. There's some people who just feel like nothing will ever change. But part of it is they've never been given the opportunity to be engaged. So our mission now is to say, hey, look, if this is our community, let's own it. No one person is going to change this. But if folks engage in an advocacy piece that says, hey, look, even in general conversation, if they hear a parent say, yeah, my kid got guns all up in the house, that person who knows that there are folks out there who are willing to talk to those youth, right, and talk to that parent, they will communicate that to us, and then we can try to reach out to the folks that they're referring to. So being out front, being on the front line. So when Keenan talks about folks might be getting paid to do some of this work in the community, but they're not visible. So if you're invisible, I don't know how you do that work. When a shooting happens, if you're not visible, how do you say we're here to change the norm to say, hey, look, this was a violent incident? Yes, we acknowledge that. But again, it's not happening every day. It's not happening twice a day. So if it was as bad, and so many people look at McKeesport and say, man, you can get killed over there. You can get killed over there. And I'm saying, how many people got killed in McKeesport? Because in their mind, if they see one piece of information come across the news about one person that got killed, they paint the whole community as McKeesport is a killing zone. So we have got to figure out ways to establish, because we're not going to police ourselves out of this stuff, right? We got to find ways to engage the community to help us in this fight. So when we speak anti-violence, this is about gun use and gun abuse. When we think about violence, we think about drug use and drug abuse. So when we look at all the what I call the risk domains, the family, is the family in a functional capacity or a dysfunctional? Then we look at the individuals. The individual making proper choices based on his information. Is he being a critical thinker? Is he saying, I know the difference between right, wrong, good, and bad? Them are the only four things I teach young folks. Just to say, hey, look, when you assess anything that you're ready to do, ask yourself, is this good? Is this bad? Is it right or is it wrong? Now, if you got wrong and bad connected, you know what the outcome going to be. So I tell them, so we got that, what we call the power program, the positive outcomes with the excuses removed. We try to make sure we inform these kids about all of those potholes that can cost you your life or cost you time in jail. So we give them information about what is it going to cost to get a lawyer to get you out of a jam. If you kill somebody, you're looking at minimum $40,000 if you're really trying to stay off of 25 years to life. But even if you have if you shoot a gun, you're going to need $15,000 for a lawyer to get you off. So I say, if you got that kind of money, you can act any way you want. But that don't mean you're going to win. You know, everybody think because you pay a lawyer, you win. And I'm saying, okay, so if you got a public defender, chances are you might get presented with what they call that plea bargain. So you plea even if you're innocent, right? Because they tell you, look, we can give you probation right now, just plead guilty. But that guilty follows you. So we're saying, hey, look, let's get past that. So we have a diversion program now. We have the judges down in Pittsburgh that are referring kids from our area to us if they're first-time offenders and low-level offenders. If they successfully complete what we do, and Keenan's a part of that, if they completely successful do what they're supposed to do, they will throw that record out. So we're giving them a second opportunity. But when you look at the school district, all these fights that are happening, some of these kids are getting arrested in McKeesport Area School District.
Yeah, I saw this story last week. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Why aren't they referring those kids to the Healthy Village and to me and Keenan so we can have some conversations with them? I don't care what the time frame is. If it's 6 weeks or 6 months, we're committed to try to change their mentality about how they engage themselves in school. Because certainly we also have a high truancy rate. If you got kids that aren't going to school, what are they doing? They got idle time.
Yeah.
They can be easily influenced by anybody out there. They got a couple of dollars and say, here, man, take this gun. And when I call you, you're going to have to use it, but I'm going to keep giving you some monthly money. So, and then we talk about what's your community role? Are you being a good citizen or are you creating havoc and being a menace? And then we also look at the social media, because we know social media is one of the great drivers of why these kids shoot at each other.
Yeah.
So if we don't navigate, so we look at people's Facebooks, we look at their Instagram, we look at all of those things that somehow or another spark that thing inside of somebody else, and they type in, when I see you, it's on.
We're talking this morning with Keith Murphy, founder of Healthy Village Learning Institute, hvliweb.org. Also on the line with us, Keenan Michael, executive director of First Step Recovery Homes. You can find more information at firststeprecoveryhomes.com. We're talking about strategies for reducing violence, particularly gun violence, in cities such as McKeesport. This is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 637.
said something that early on in the conversation here today that I want to unpack, and I know this is going to be a sensitive topic that's going to make some of the white folks I know uncomfortable. But you said, you know, there's something about the shootings when they were confined to Harrison Village and Crawford Village, which are two of the big public housing projects in McKeesport, but now they're getting out into other areas. I wonder if there's a factor here that, especially, and I'm white, so I feel like I can say this, that for white folks, as long as it was black folks who were dying, the shootings were not so important. Keith, let me ask you a question, and I'm going to put the same question to Keenan in a minute. How do we get the white community and these white organizations engaged in this work so that, you know, folks like you are not out there carrying this load yourself?
So again, if you're marginalized, the attention isn't being directed in ways that say, hey, look, no matter what that life is, black or white, we all need to be together on this, and we need to be confronting this. We need to be out there in the streets. We need to be engaging in these critical meetings that we have in the community. The dynamic of black white. So say somebody just got killed out in Christie Park, I think, early on in the year. Mm-hmm. That didn't get a lot of media. It was a white guy. So it doesn't get the guy that got killed on Park Street. He didn't get a lot of attention. But when you look at Brandon Short's daughter who got shot and killed.
Celebrity,
right? Yeah. Now you got massive attention to it. And when people get shot in Harrison, Crawford, at the state store, that gets news. That gets the cameras up in this place. But the cameras don't go out to Christie Park. Cameras won't go up into Grandview, to tell you the truth. Because they know it's predominantly white, and sometimes I think the media doesn't want to paint the picture that even in the communities that you would consider middle class, upper class, whatever it may be, we don't want to paint a picture that this happens in their neighborhood. So even when it happens in Pittsburgh, if they go to a white neighborhood, they'll say, hey, look, this stuff has never happened in our community.
Well, they always interview the neighbors. If it happens in Fox Chapel or Upper St. Clair, they're, well, this never happens in Sweden.
Never happens.
This never happens in, like, guns. Yep. Like guns know the difference.
And we should be able to have the same platform. We got two murders this year. One person white, one person black. We got two murders. And you don't hear that narrative. So we can't change the social norms. If the narrative is if you're black and you get killed, now we'll pay attention to this matter. Because now we want to paint that picture that them black folks over in McKeesport, them black folks over in Clarendon, them black folks in Duquesne, that's what they do. And the frequency of it is what everybody needs to focus on. But anybody can be a victim, like I said. So it's like I tell folks, if you look at the dynamics, even in the educational system, where 80% of elementary school kids in McKeesport are testing at basic and below basic. 92% are testing at basic and below basic in middle school. In high school, it's over 80% basic or below basic. So one, if we can't strengthen the educational process, which we have to have a commitment towards academic achievement. And if we do that, I really believe that we can change the trajectory of how this youth violence happens, because that's the main thing that's happening.
And that's part one of our two-part conversation with Keenan Michael, the executive director of First Step Recovery Homes, and Keith Murphy, the founder of Healthy Village Learning Institute. We'll have part two for you in 2 weeks on these same stations, and we will post the entire conversation soon on our website at TubeCityOnline.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more information about Healthy Village Learning Institute, hvliweb.org, 412-889-9329. First Step Recovery Homes is at 673-2113 or firststeprecoveryhomes.com. Thank you so much for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. We'll be right back. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.